Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Have you ever felt like you've tried everything to heal from the pain of sexual abuse, and yet nothing seems to really be helping? Well, one of the reasons why most people struggle to break free from the pain of past child abuse is because the techniques out there are positioned as a one-size-fits-all answer. What I want you to know is that there are actually three distinct phases on the path to recovery, and I'd love to share with you about these phases, what issues you must resolve to move to the next phase, and what kinds of support you'll need in order to move forward as quickly and completely as possible. The road to recovery is much easier when you know what stage you're in and what to do next. So don't hesitate. Go to www.rachelgrantcoaching.com/checklist and get your 9-page guide today. Now, on to our show. Welcome, everyone, to Beyond Surviving, the safe space for survivors of childhood sexual abuse to receive support, resources, and share their stories. Beyond Surviving is about freedom, healing, connection, and even laughter and fun. Most importantly, it's about letting go of the pain of abuse and finally moving on. I'm Rachel Grant, and for those of you who don't yet know me, I've been a sexual abuse recovery coach since 2007, and am the author of Beyond Surviving, The Final Stage of Recovery from Sexual Abuse. You can learn more about me and the Beyond Surviving method at www.rachelgrantcoaching.com. Now, today I'm very excited to have here with me my guest, Caitlin DiPrano, who will be sharing with us ways to stay self-empowered, whether we're in or out of relationships. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about Caitlin, and then we're going to jump right into our conversation. Now, Caitlin can really be described in many different ways. She's a social entrepreneur. She's a women's empowerment teacher. She's a shoe and accessory designer, and she's also trained as an intimate partner abuse advocate. Caitlin is a native of Melbourne, and she graduated from the University of Melbourne with a BSc majoring in psychology and philosophy. She's also the CEO and founder of Willpowered Woman, a keynote panelist for YWCA. She's been a guest lecturer at SFSU. She's also been a guest speaker at Green Festival. So she's been touring around, getting her message out, and really doing beautiful advocacy work out there in the world because she is determined to break the silence. She continues to boldly and courageously share her story in various settings to create awareness and share her knowledge about intimate partner abuse as a way of empowering others. So I'm so glad to have Caitlin here with us today because, as many of you know, there is a huge crossover between those of us who have experienced sexual abuse or trauma and have found ourselves in abusive relationships. You can count me among that group as well. So I know we're going to have lots to learn from Caitlin here today. So welcome, Caitlin. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here and to inform your listeners to the things that I learnt through my journey and what we're doing at Willpowered Woman.
So, yeah, thank you. And I'm really glad to have the opportunity to hear more of your story and how this has become a mission for you, really. So maybe you can start us off a little bit to just tell us a little bit about yourself and your journey and experience in an intimate partner abuse relationship and how that led you to found Willpowered Woman.
Yeah, sure. So I had, run my own business in the UK, and I was at a period in my life where I really was looking for something more meaningful. So I came to the States and I volunteered for a nonprofit and raised them $15,000 to feed the homeless for Thanksgiving and Christmas, which was, such a wonderful experience, but it really did make me very vulnerable because I didn't have a job here and I didn't, I had kind of left my life behind in London. And so that, I met my partner and we got married. And after we got married, things sort of drastically changed. The person that I'd married and the person I was married to were like two different people. It was like night and day. And so, because I'd had life experience before him, when his behavior and the violence in the relationship started to escalate, I left right away. And so, a part of Willpowered Woman's mission is to always be encouraging women to have goals and strive for those goals and have life experiences because on average, a woman will go back to their abuser 7 times. So I was sort of one of the anomalies, and I really do believe the reason for that was because I'd had all of these life experiences that taught me that what it felt like to be living free and then what it felt like to be in a relationship where essentially I was trapped. We were living out in the East Bay, San Ramon area. And before we got married, he'd been teaching me how to drive his manual car because I didn't know how to drive manual. And after we got married, it was like, no, you're not driving my car. And so that's where it really started, where I was 100% reliant on him for everything. So even if I needed to go to the supermarket to get food, I was reliant on him, to drive me there, which was a really, really scary situation for someone like myself because I just felt trapped and I very much wanted to, go and do my own thing and, sort of have my own life as well as the life with my husband. And so once he started being violent, I just, left right away. And through that experience, I discovered that women without children are highly underserved in the intimate partner abuse realm. I was able to find an emergency shelter that took women without children, to escape my husband. But beyond that, there were no long-term housing solutions for women without children. There was maybe one or two, but obviously their wait lists were, very long. And so because I'd gone on this you know, journey of really looking at what is my purpose in life, I was like, oh my God, this is what I'm meant to do. This really is the thing that that is my calling, because actually at the emergency shelter, the term domestic violence was the first time I'd come across that term, and I realized that I'd actually been a lifetime survivor of that, because, you know, my father was pretty violent, pretty erratic as a child, and, you know, I was a very, very outspoken, very outgoing kind of child, and so I was always the child in the family that got the brunt of his anger, and, you know, it just became so glaringly obvious that, you know, this really was my mission in life. And the amount of willpower it took me to also not go back to my husband is really where Willpowered Woman, where the name came from. You know, that was in that short period of time where I'm going through this massive crisis. I'm also having these like enlightening thoughts and, you know, and just like, I'm starting this organization, we're going to be all about prevention, you know, and we're also, the longer term plan is to be able to help women without children who are trying to get out of abusive relationships.
Yeah. Wow, Caitlin, thank you so much for that introduction and sharing a little bit of your story with us, and how you've taken this experience and turned it into a sword that you are using to be out in the world and just, you know, just do some really amazing things. A couple of things I want to just pull from what you shared there that really struck me is to highlight, well, you know, yeah, services for single women. It's such a thing that if you don't have children, sorry, not single women, women without children, you know, the services are very limited. So I love that you saw, you know, this gap of care and thought, okay, how can I step in and create something to support those women? And that, you know, this experience of going through this trauma and then recognizing it as something that was clearly not something you wanted to return to, but also understanding that pool that we have and how hard that can be, and that willpower that it takes, along with resources and support, in order to not just step out of a domestic violence situation, but then to remain out of it. Really, really beautiful. I know for myself, you know, when I started dating my partner, boy, I just didn't have any, clue what I was doing, really, Caitlin. You know, I had been through abuse and trauma as a child, and here I was, I just like, let me find somebody who's going to like love me and care for me. And I was just all about ignoring the warning signs. And even if I had the resource or the knowledge to even notice those warning signs, I'm not sure that I would have necessarily been able to step away even so, because I was in such that place of my own sense of self being so broken down that I didn't know yet that I could stand up for myself, that I could take care of myself. But I do want to talk a little bit here about warning signs, because, you know, prevention, if we can avoid even getting into the situation in the first place, is that's, you know, the best case scenario. So can you share with us, you know, some of the things that that women should be looking for and paying attention to in order to avoid ending up in these relationships in the first place?
Yeah, sure. So I'd say that the number one sign to look out for would be control. And this can start out as very small things, such as what you're wearing. You know, they ask you to, you know, wear a skirt that is maybe a little bit longer, or something like that. So, I mean, this is the thing, is that it really starts out very small. And, you know, sometimes there have been women that have been in, you know, relationships for 6 years, and it didn't hit a point where it was, you know, really dangerous until, you know, 6 years after the relationship started. So, you know, even things that we might think of as small start out as small, but then they escalate. So it's really looking out for these small ways that your partner is trying to control your behavior in relation to him and the relationship. You know, one thing might be, I don't want you to wear a short skirt because other men will look at you. You know, so kind of also having that jealousy factor is also another massive warning sign. You know, them just not wanting you to have friends because they think that you're cheating on them. You know, all of that kind of thing, which leads me to my next point of that is all working towards isolation, to isolating a woman from her networks of people to, you know, basically be able to continue to have control over the woman so that they can, you know, escalate their behavior and get to a point where they can pretty much do whatever they want because a woman is, you know, you mentioned it before, so broken down that, you know, it's super hard to get out of.
Yeah, most definitely, most definitely. You know, it's really fascinating how, you know, women are often taught to accommodate. And I know for myself, when those little things started to happen, like, oh, that don't dress that way, dress this way, or don't, you shouldn't talk to those people because, well, like, they always have really great reasons why, don't they? It seems like really rational and important. Okay, I can understand that. But yeah, that chipping away, right, that little bit by bit by bit. And then before you know it, yeah, you've separated yourself from friends, from family. You're constantly trying to fit into the mold of what this person, you know, wants. And anytime you're outside of that, of course, that is when there's an eruption and there's that violence piece. Yeah. So, yeah, so being able to do that interior work to build up your sense of self-worth, right, and deservingness of healthy relationship is one side of that coin, and then really being knowing what to look for. And when you think of women who, you know, I think I love that you were, as soon as, you know, the violence started in your relationship, that you had the wherewithal to step away. What would you say to women who are struggling with that, who are really finding it so hard to walk away from something that they know is not healthy, they know is not in service to them, it's not good, and yet they just can't seem to step away? What would you say to a woman in that situation?
You know, I'd say number one, you be kind to yourself. You know, you're not alone. It is extremely difficult to get out of that cycle, because what essentially is happening in an abusive relationship is, you know, you hit these, you know, almost these points where things get very intense and they get very abusive, and then the abuser apologizes. And then you go back into this almost honeymoon phase where you're back in love again and you're, you know, back in the relationship and things are feeling really good. And, you know, sometimes that can go on for 6 months and then there hits another point where it escalates again. You know, so the chemical reaction that is happening within that cycle is, you know, is very hard to break. Yeah. So, you know, I'd say that they're really not alone and that I understand where they're coming from, and that really, you know, I work with survivors and I always hone in on the fact, you know, just acknowledge the small wins, you know, that you have, whether that be that, you know that you're in this abusive relationship and you've started to seek out an advocate. You know, whether you've started to think about leaving, you know, it really is a process. And, you know, I think that people that have been through an abusive relationship will understand that. And then the other thing that I would also recommend is just to really start to make a list of the things that, you want to create in your life that essentially are going to be, you know, put on hold if you stay in the relationship. So, you know, for me personally, he didn't even want me to get a job once we got married. And I was like, what? Like, this is just totally not okay. And so, you know, I recognized all of the things that I wasn't going to be able to move forward with if I stayed in the relationship. And so I, you know, shortly after I left him, I wrote a list of the top five things that I wanted to create in my life. And, you know, kind of always brought myself back to that list, you know, when I was wanting to go back with him. And then another thing that also really helped me is, you know, I kind of went in and out of thinking about the good times with him. And that's a very normal reaction.
Yeah.
But what I'd done was I'd put together a list of all of the negative things that he'd done to me. So every time I was kind of going into that euphoric stage of remembering the good times, I'd bring myself back to that list and remind myself of the reality of the relationship and that this is not actually a safe person to be around.
Yes. Oh my gosh, I love that so much. Like, reality check. Here's my reality checklist. Because that is part of what makes abuse, whether it's sexual abuse, you know, at the hands of a parent or an adult who we're in the care of, or a partner, it is this duality of this person isn't all bad. If they were all bad, it would be so straightforward. But we have this mixture of fondness and love and good, yummy moments with that person alongside this abuse and trauma. So I love, love, love. Take that advice to the bank, folks. Create your list of, like, your reality checklist. It is such a great idea there. I love that. The other thing that really stood out to me from what you were saying there, Caitlin, is that it doesn't necessarily have to be a, like, okay, I've made the decision to leave and now I'm leaving. That you can build a plan, and you can start layering in things that are going to make that transition happen, hopefully very quickly, so that you're not suffering and, you know, being harmed and traumatized. But that, you know, what I heard you say was, you know, think about getting support. Just start having conversations with some people, building in some infrastructure that is going to support you in leaving. And that kind of brings me to something else that I'm really curious about is, I know you mentioned things like planning finances and actually managing, like, using contraception, and that these two things can be actually very critical towards helping prevent you from being trapped in an abusive relationship. So let's maybe take the finances piece first. You know, can you say a little more about that? What do you mean by kind of work, you know, manage your personal finances so that you can avoid being trapped in an abusive relationship?
Yeah, sure. So in 98% of intimate partner abuse cases, the abuser is controlling the finances. So in order for a woman to leave, she either stays or she has to face homelessness and poverty in order to leave. So, you know, that essentially, you know, traps a woman in the relationship. Whereas if women can really just always be ahead of their finances and, you know, sort of understand that they need to look after themselves first and foremost. And, you know, having an emergency stash of money that only you know about is extremely important, because, like I said, there have been women that have been in relationships for 6 years and these signs didn't eventuate until the five-year mark, you know. So sometimes you can be in this awesome relationship for a long time and then it turns. You know, that, and then also just, you know, another thing I always try and hone in on is always, like, asking yourself, you know, if I were to do this particular thing that, for example, my partner is asking me to do, would it make me vulnerable? You know, so another tactic that abusers use is basically they, you know, coerce the woman to be giving their wages, you know, to them. So that essentially means, you know, that they've got all of the control over the finances. You know, and then, you know, another basic one, which, you know, and a lot of people don't think about is, you know, no joint bank accounts, you know, really trying to keep your finances, you know, separate from one another, and, you know, really trying to just make sure that in the event where you do need to leave a relationship, that you're going to be able to support yourself. So, and you're not trapped.
I love it. It reminds me a little bit of my my ex mother-in-law, who she's really very much still my mother-in-law. I kept her in the divorce. And she's this amazing, amazing Jamaican woman, and she's just powerful and brilliant. And she used to always say to me, "Rachel, girl, you keep $20 in your pocket no matter where you go." Now, in today's economy, we need more than $20, but the heart of that was, you always need to have your own freedom. And I love that. And at the same time, Caitlin, I'm going to play devil's advocate with you a little bit, because I want to know how you would respond to the people who would say, "Oh, Caitlin, that's so cynical. Like, how can we be in love and how can we have trust in a relationship if we're always planning to, like, we have an escape route plan, and, you know, and we're not trusting our partners and not sharing everything?" And I'd love to hear just, you know, your take on, because I bet there has to be people who are hearing that and thinking that, as good as that is. So, yeah, what would you say to the folks who really experience that as cynical?
Yeah, sure. So I would say that, you know, the main purpose of a relationship is, you know, to support one another, and that, you know, your life is actually better with that person in it. And, you know, that's and that you're both able, you know, you have this dynamic of interdependence. So interdependence is really what you're aiming for in a healthy relationship. You know, so, you know, when it comes to, like, sharing everything, you know, like, there's so much room for that, like, codependent cycle to, you know, be created. So, you know, I would say it's not cynical, actually. I'd say that it's really encouraging people to create interdependent relationships where you're both two autonomous human beings that can look after themselves, and that they're joining in this partnership because they add to each other's lives.
Oh, man. Yeah, A plus on that reply. Yes. So good. So key. Did you all hear that word? It's such an important word, interdependence. Oh, man, and it's so interesting because that topic, that theme is starting to come up a little bit, the difference between codependence and interdependence in my world this month. So I'm so excited to hear it here in this conversation. So true, so true. The other little thing before we talk about the contraception piece is I want to highlight something that you said, Caitlin, and really make sure our listeners get that. Sometimes these sorts of abusive behaviors begin later on in the relationship. And so the warning signals, sometimes they're not there. There is this moment of like, okay, you were this, and now you're this. And, you know, and then they start to do these, you know, small behaviors that then escalate into violence. And I just wanted to highlight that because I know for so many survivors of sexual abuse and domestic violence, there's this feeling of, I should have seen it coming. Why didn't I see it coming? And so I think it's really great for us to be able to be here today and just let some people off the hook and go, you know, sometimes you just can't see it coming. There is no warning sign that it's going to start. And our job is that when it does start, if it does start, to be able to respond to that as needed.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I think also, you know, sometimes it the majority of the relationship could even just be emotional abuse. It doesn't have to be physical.
Thank you.
You know, yeah. So the emotional abuse usually points to that at some point it might turn violent, you know, but then again, it might not. And emotional abuse has a whole, you know, set of negative effects on the person that,
right.
that sometimes make it even more difficult to leave.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I know in my relationship, the verbal abuse was so detrimental. The physical violence was almost like, you know, it almost didn't have as much impact as the verbal abuse on me personally. But it was after the relationship ended, the thing that I had to do the most healing around and de-triggering around was the verbal abuse that I experienced. So thank you for calling that forward because it is so important. So what
Definitely.
About this other piece? You mentioned, you know, that contraception and being aware of, like, of planning can also be really important in preventing, you know, ourselves from becoming trapped in abusive relationships. Can you say a little more about that?
Yeah, sure. So right after we got married, my husband was trying to sabotage our birth control plan. And I was really taken aback because, you know, we wanted to have children but not right away, and we were in no financial situation at the time to be even considering having a child. So it just was very sort of, it came out of nowhere. And he did actually say to me one time, that way you'll never be able to leave me. And I think that gives us some insight into, you know, why would an abuser want to, you know, force their girlfriend or their wife to get pregnant. And, you know, really when you have a child with someone, then, you know, whoever you've had that child with, you're tied to them for, you know, 18 years at least. And so, you know, I had my own experience of that, and then I, you know, went to the emergency shelter for 2 months and heard other women's stories of forced pregnancy, where, you know, the abuser had, you know, forced them to get pregnant so then they can exert further control over them and their lives. And this caused me to delve into it deeper, and I discovered that it happens to 1 in 4 women in abusive relationships.
Wow.
So, yeah, it really is a huge issue that is not, in my opinion, talked about nearly enough.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that Willpowered Woman has identified that as one of our key awareness issues. So if women see that their partner is trying to sabotage their birth control plan, you know, I would recommend, you know, trying to get something that, you know, a contraceptive that their partner would have no knowledge of, like an IUD or something like that.
Yeah. Okay. Wow, that's so fascinating. Oh, man. And scary. Oh, my gosh, scary.
Yeah.
Because when children start to be pawns, oh, that's, you know, we could do a whole episode just on that. So, there's so much. It is, you know, what I'm really present to in this conversation, Caitlin, is that there's such a delicate balance that we strike in relationships as women in being engaged, being loving, being generous, and being mindful and holding our own space and allowing ourselves to stand separate, and that not meaning that our relationships are shallow or we're planning for the end of them, but that we're just really, really aware. Anything you would add to that?
Yeah, I think that there is this, you know, common misconception in the media that, you know, that romantic relationships are a big part of what it means to be a woman. And, you know, I definitely like to challenge that view that is brought up in the media so often, and that really, you know, figuring out how to be autonomous in your life, you know, in and out of a relationship, is really you know, the most healthy thing that you can do for yourself.
Awesome. Woo! Love that. I love that. I love that. Okay, so I'm going to throw you a little curveball here. And I want to, because I know that men are listening to this podcast as well, I know that Willpowered Women focuses on women. But I'm guessing just because you're so immersed in this world that you must be coming across, you know, men who are victims of domestic violence. So I just want to give a shout out to the men who are dealing with this same dynamic. And, of course, in LGBTQ relationships where we have partners of the same sex and domestic violence is occurring. So just anything you might say or add, or is there any just anything that you've been noticing about or aware of for these populations that is the same or distinct or different than, you know, maybe what we've shared so far with the idea of women in mind?
Yeah, I mean, it really is. It's the same, you know, across the board. You know, really, you know, another thing that could, you know, is potentially a warning sign is, you know, a partner that in the beginning of the relationship seems very charming and sort of seems like they have it all together and, you know, they're very doting and very loving and caring. You know, that is often a tactic that, you know, abusers use. And it really, abuse doesn't discriminate. You know, it doesn't matter whether, you know, you're male, female, you know, wealthy, you know, less fortunate. It really doesn't discriminate. And so, you know, for, you know, I know men who have, you know, been through abusive relationships. And, you know, the one thing that, you know, sort of became clear is that, you know, the emotional side of it can, you know, sometimes the emotional abuse can be heavier than the physical abuse, you know, because obviously, you know, men have, you know, a higher like muscle mass and they just are genetically and physically stronger than women. So, you know, I think that the number one thing I've seen with men is the jealousy aspect. That really for men that are experiencing partners that ended up being abusive, that seemed to be like the number one warning sign of like the woman being very jealous and the woman being like, you're not allowed to see like any of your ex-girlfriends and, you know, that kind of thing. You know, and then it's like, another thing I've noticed is that like there's this element of like shame for men,
right.
which is different than the shame we experience as women who have been through abuse. You know, I think women tend to internalize it and kind of say, oh, you know, like it's all my fault, and that's where that shame comes from. Whereas for men, it's like I'm a man, like I shouldn't even be going through this, and that's kind of where their shame comes from. And so, you know, and it's another thing for men is like it's not, you know, it's more difficult for them to like open up and get support. So, you know, for men that are going through it, I would just say, you know, like speak to someone that you trust, you know, call a hotline or, you know, seek support from an organization, you know, and get help because, you know, it's like I was saying before, the emotional abuse aspect to it is very detrimental, you know, and can sometimes make it even more difficult to get out of an abusive relationship. Right. So if the abuse isn't physical, you know, it still could be very detrimental.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely. Thank you, Caitlin, for those words of wisdom and encouragement. And so as we start to near the end of our time together today, you know, one of the things that we talk a lot about on the Beyond Surviving podcast is the fact that trauma and recovery is a part of our life, but not our life. And that there is something else. There's something that comes next. So I'd love for you to share just any final words that you might have that might be an encouragement to men or women who are in a circumstance of this intimate partner abuse, to let them know that it is possible to heal from this kind of trauma.
Yeah, definitely. So, the first thing I would say is that, you know, you're not alone, and that there are so many other people that have, been through what you're going through and understand, you know, what you're going through. And, there were times where I literally just had to take it like one day at a time. And, you know, the thing that got me through would just, I would tell myself it's going to get better. It's going to get better. And then the other thing was that, you know, I sought the help that I needed, you know. So right after I left him, you know, I think I was going to 2 support groups. You know, I had an advocate, I had a therapist, I was on medication, so I sought out all of these like services and resources to really help me heal. So, you know, really the healing process, you know, it takes time, but it is possible. And, you know, if you need help, go and get the help that you need. That's definitely what I would say. And then, you know, another thing was that just writing in my journal every day was also something that helped a lot. And having someone to talk to, you know, whenever I needed to talk to them. So, you know, I'd call the hotline and would speak to an advocate on the hotline. And actually that's like one of the ways Willpowered Woman differs, is that when people reach out to us for support, they actually are given an advocate, and that person is their advocate. So, there's not this whole having to speak to someone new every time, and, you know, they're able to have some sort of consistency with having an advocate and their support person. That's one thing that I've been very cognizant of within the organization, to, you know, give survivors that thing that they need, where they need some sort of like consistency after they've been through.
Love that.
Yeah.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you so much for that. It is such an encouragement, and I hope everybody listening that you're really absorbing everything that Caitlin is saying there, because it is so true. And there isn't any, don't take this the wrong way, Caitlin, but there isn't anything special about her that, you know, made it possible for her to heal, you know, because we can go to that place,
yeah, exactly.
You know, work for her, won't work for me. So if any of y'all are in your heads doing that thing, no. All it is reaching out, getting support, taking it day by day. And of course, you have a resource that you now know about, willpoweredwoman.org. You can go to their website. You can reach out. Caitlin, do you support people outside of the Bay Area?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. So see, folks, no matter where you are in this beautiful world, reach out to Caitlin. You can email her at caitlin@willpoweredwoman.org. That's caitlin@willpoweredwoman.org. And for those of you who are in the Bay Area, be sure to check out their upcoming class, Dare to Dream. It's going to be hosted at WeWork Soma, and it's a Survivor's Stories of Triumph. So if you go to their website, willpoweredwoman.org/2018events.html, that'll also be listed here in the podcast notes. Then you can get over there and check out the events. And you all have lots of events. This isn't the only one. Lots of ongoing events, it seems. When I was checking out your calendar, you guys are up to quite a bit.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're trying to consistently offer events and classes every month. So,
absolutely. So
yeah.
If you can't attend this upcoming event, get on their newsletter list so that you can be updated about, I just signed up today. I was like, oh, yes, I want to know what's going on over here. Wonderful. So, Caitlin, thank you again so much for joining us today and sharing yourself with us. Really appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. And for those of you listening, thank you so much for tuning in and joining us. Don't forget to visit rachelgrantcoaching.com to learn more about sexual abuse recovery coaching. And, of course, subscribe to the podcast, leave us a note, and tune in next time because we have so much more to share. Until then, take good care of you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.